Okay, good morning. As always, the weekly shiur in the Seches Megillah is dedicated by Gary and Toby Greenstein in memory of their dear son, Yomi Yosef Menachem ben Gershon. He grew up in the YFBC. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Lili Nishmas, Shimon ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. We are on Daf Zion in the Seches Megillah. And we're going to start from the second line from the bottom on Daf Vavam at Beis. We had been talking about when you celebrate Purim in a leap year, where we add a second Adar. And specifically, the Mishnah had been talking about what happens if they enacted that second Adar after you've already read the Megillah. Do you repeat the Megillah again in the Adar Sheni? And all the issues relating to that. And so we had a machlokes among the Tanoim as to which other is the Ikar other, or I should say which other gets Mikra Megillah in it. Is it the first other, is it the second other? And we said both of them, both of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi learn it from the same pasuk, the Chol Shana V'Shana. They learn from the same pasuk what they derive, whether that is from the first other and the second other. And we said Rosh Hashanah Gamliel learns it from Kol Shana V'Shana, Ma Kol Shana V'Shana Adar HaSamach L'Nisan, Afkan Adar HaSamach L'Nisan. That just like every year, it's the other that is adjacent to Nisan, so too here, it's the other that's adjacent to Nisan. And obviously, Rav Elazar ben Yossi said, well, Kol Shana V'Shana teaches you just like every year, it's the other after Shvat, right? The other adjacent to Shvat, so to this year it should be the first other. So really, that pasuk doesn't necessarily is not dispositive.
It could really. It's got to be the Purim, I think, the beginning of the four parshiot, and therefore he starts with Shkolim and then right away into Zohar. That's why it needs to be the.
Is that right? There had been talking earlier in the sugya, right, about the fact that this.
That's why it's Kol Shana V'Shana, that you're doing it close to Shvat.
Right, okay. Fine. So the Gemara picks up the discussion now and says, Ela Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so we said, we understand why Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi prefers to say the first other, because he says, Ein Mavir Na'al Mitzvos. The first opportunity you have to do a mitzvah, you're going to seize on the opportunity, and therefore we're going to do it in the first other. Says the Gemara on the second to bottom line, Ela Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, my time. Why did Rabbi Shimon Gamliel interpret B'chol Shana V'Shana in the way he did to say the second other? So Amar Rabbi Tebi, Taima de Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Mismach Gula Adif. He would prefer to make the Gula of Nisan adjacent to the Gula of Adar, and that's why he says go with the second Adar. Rabbi Lazar Amar Taima de Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Mehacha. He has a different reason for why he prefers the second Adar. Dechsiv Akayim Es Yigeres HaPurim Azos HaSheinis. The pasuk says HaSheinis, which he says is a reference to the fact that you should put it in the second other. So again, Kol Shana V'Shana kind of doesn't really solve the problem, because you could interpret that either way. And then we have two reasons to understand why Rav Shimon Gamliel said it's the second other, interpret Kol Shana V'Shana to mean the second other. One is Mismach Gula Gula, and the second is because it says in the Pasuk HaSheinis. But if you're going to go with that second answer of HaSheinis, that begs the question of then why do you need B'chol Shana V'Shana? Kol Shana V'Shana is completely neutral. You can learn either way from it. And you're going to learn that it's in the second other from HaSheinis. So just have the Pasuk HaSheinis. Why do you need the Pasuk B'chol Shana V'Shana? So Gemara says, V'itzrachu miktav HaSheinis, V'itzrachu miktav B'chol Shana V'Shana. And you need both psukim to teach you this halacha. To teach you this halacha. Div mi B'chol Shana V'Shana, if it had just said, mi Kol Shana V'Shana, hava mina ki kushyan. That wouldn't have taught us the halacha, because you could have just as well interpreted B'chol Shana V'Shana as go with the month that's adjacent to Shvat. That wouldn't necessarily teach you the second other. So Kamash Bon HaSheinis, so comes along the second pasuk of HaSheinis to teach you that it's the second month that gets the Mikra Megillah. V'yashmin on HaSheinis, and if it had just said the pasuk of HaSheinis, Hava Mina B'tchila B'rishon U'V'Sheini, you might have thought that that just teaches you that L'chatchila you should read the Megillah in both months, right? HaSheinis just teaches you repeat it again in the second month. But it's not to say that you should skip it altogether in the first month. K'mashwan B'chol Shana V'Shana. So the Pasuk B'chol Shana V'Shana teaches you that it should be done just like it is in every other year, where you only read it once. So now that we know you only read it once, comes along the Pasuk HaSheinis to teach you, and the one time you read it is in the second month. So then, Rav Elazar, Rav Yossi, remember Rav Elazar, Rav Yossi, he was the one who held that you read it in the first Adar, right? Hi Hashenis my Avidlei. What does he do with the word Hashenis? He doesn't need the word Hashenis to teach you anything relating to which Adar you read the Parshan, that you read Megillin. So the Gemara answers, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. He needs it for a different halacha entirely that's taught by Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. Damar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Bitchila Kavua Bishushan, Uvasof Bechoa Ulam Kula. That historically, just this is kind of Pashat Pshat in the Pasuk, that Hashenis means that the first year they celebrated Purim in Shushan, and then the following years is when they spread it out as a new holiday in the whole world. But nothing to, no halachic implication to teach you anything about which month you read the Megillah in. Okay. While we're quoting Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda on matters relating to the Megillah, we quote him on another matter related to the Megillah. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Shalchu Lahem Esther L'Chachamim. So Esther, at the end of the story, after the Jews had been victorious, she sent to the Chachamim, she made a request to the Chazal, Kavuni L'Doros, please make me a story that will be read forever. Make me part of Tanakh. Make the holiday of Purim a permanent holiday. So Shalchu La, so the Chachamim responded to Esther by saying, what you're suggesting is dangerous. Kina at mioreres aleinu lebeina umos. If you're going to make a big deal about this event that just occurred where the Jews were victorious over their enemies, it's going to cause kina, it's going to cause jealousy, it's going to cause a rise of anti-Semitism, it's dangerous for the Jewish people. So Shalchu Lahem, so she responded to them by suggesting that what she was suggesting was not so radical, because kvar katsuva ani al divra hayamim l'malchei madayu paras, right? The Pasuk in Megillah, it says, itself says that I'm already written in the history books of Malchei Madai Uparas. The Marsha clarifies that what's going on here is Esther's basically saying, look, my story is already written down in Divrei Yomim, it's already written down in history books, and so it's not going to arouse jealousy and much more anti-Semitism than it might already engender if you make it into a holiday, if you make Megillas Esther something that's part of Tanakh, if you make a big deal of it, it's already something that's there. Okay. Rav, Vrav Chanina, Vrav Yochanan, Vrav Chaviva, Masnu. These four Amoraim taught the following. And now the Gemara tells us parenthetically, Bekulei Seder Moed, in all of Seder Moed, whenever you have a Gemara in Seder Moed, Kol Ki Haizuga, whenever it mentions this group of Amoraim, Rav and Rav Chanina, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, Chalufei Rabbi Yochanan, Uma'ayo Rabbi Yonasan. Really, the proper girsa is to get rid of Rav Yochanan and instead write Rav Yonasan. Really, it was Rav, Rav Chanina, Rav Yonasan, and Rabbi Chaviva. So in any event, Shalchu Lahem, they teach the following, Shalchu Lahem Esther L'Chachamim Kasvuni Udoros. What we just said, that Esther asked Chazal to enact the Megillah as part of Tanakh, to make it as part of the Sfarim HaKadoshim. So Shalchu La, they responded to her, Halo Kasafti Ucha Shlishim. They quote a pasuk from Mishlei that has nothing to do at all with Megillas Esther, with the story of Purim, but it's simply a pasuk in Mishlei that says, I've written it three times. And Rashi explains the three times means, is referring to the fact that this is already, our Machoksim and our waging war with Amalek is already written three times in Tanakh, and so therefore Shlishim v'lo Ruvayim, it's already written three times. It doesn't need to be written a fourth time. What are the three times? We have it in the end of Parshas Beshalach. We have the Melchamas Amalek. We have it again in Kiseitze Melchamas Amalek in Mishneh Torah, and then it's already in Nevi'im in Sefer Shmuel. You have the whole story with Agag and Shaul and Shmuel, right? So there you have for a third time Tanakh telling us about the wars that Jews waged with Amalek, so it doesn't need to be written a fourth time. And not only that, but the pasuk in Mishlei implies that something that's already written three times doesn't need to be written for a fourth time. Ad shematzu lo mikra kasuv batorah ksavzo zichron basefer. Until they discovered a source for including it a fourth time, in other words, a source for in fact canonizing Sefer or Megillas Esther by having it written a fourth time, because it says Ksav Zos Zichron Sefer. Ksav Zos, that refers to Masha Kasuv Kan Uva Mishnah Torah. All right, Ksav Zos is two words, so it it refers to the first time Shmos and in Dvarim. Zikaron Mashakasav Beneviim. The word Zikaron in that pasuk refers to the fact that it's mentioned in Sefer Shmuel. Basefer Mashakasav Megillah. That leaves open one extra word, Basefer, to say that you can now canonize Megillas Esther and make it part of Torah Shebichsav. And in fact, this discussion among the Chachamim and the seeking out of a pasuk to justify including Megillas Esther in Tanakh is Kitanai, is like a similar Mahogas Tanaim that we know of. Ksav Zos, the Pasuk, again, Ksav Zos, Zikaron B'Sefer, Ksav Zos refers to Masr Kasuv Kan. That refers to the Parshas B'Shalach, recital of Melchama Zamalek. Zikaron Masr Kasuv Mishnah Torah, that refers to Sefer Dvarim Kiseitse. B'Sefer Masr Kasuv B'Nevi'im, and B'Sefer refers to it mentioned in Nevi'im in Sefer Shmuel. Divrei Rav Yoshua, that's Rav Yoshua's opinion. Rav Elazar Amodai Omer Ksav Zos Mashkasav Kan Mishnah Torah. The fact that Ksav Zos is two words, that refers to Parshas Peshach and Parshas Kiseitze. Zikaron Mashkasav Benevim, that refers to its inclusion in as a story in Sefer Shmuel. Basefer, that opens up Mashkasav of Megillah, that opens up the possibility of including Megillah's Esther. Okay, while we're talking about the importance of Megillas Esther and whether it's considered part of Torah Shebichsav, Amrav Yehuda Amr Shmuel, Esther Eina Metame Es HaYadayim. That Megillas Esther is not Metame Yadayim. As Rashi points out, the Gemara in Shabbos, we learned in the Gemara in Shabbos that Chazal made a takana that a Sefer Torah and other parts, other parchment for Sefer for Svarim of Tanakh is Metame Yadayim. The reason they made this gezeira was because originally people wanted to store their truma in a safe place. Truma is susceptible to be mekabel tuma. They didn't want to just put it in their cupboards or in their kitchen. They wanted to make it, to put it in a special place to protect it from tuma, so people wouldn't just haphazardly touch it if they were in a state of tuma. And so they would put it in the aron together with the Sifrei Torah. But the problem was that the truma attracted mice, and the mice would start nibbling at the shruma, and while they were at it, they would start nibbling on the parchment, and it was bad for the Sifrei Torah. And so Chazal wanted to abolish the practice of people putting truma in the aron. So therefore, they said that Sifrei Torah are now transmit tuma, and that would be a problem for the truma, and people would therefore stop putting the truma in the aron hakodesh. And so the question is, how far-reaching was this gezeira? Did it apply also to Sefer Megillah? This is basically a proxy question for asking whether Megillah's Esther is part of Tanakh. If it's part of Tanakh, it's part of canonized Tanakh, so then it's going to be Metamei Esei Adayim. And if it's not, then it's not. So Rav Yehuda Amar quotes Shmuel as saying that Megillas Esther is not Metame Yadayim, meaning it's not an important part of Tanakh, or it's not a part of Tanakh, it's not part of this Gezeiras Chazal of Tumas Yadayim. So the Gemara says, Lememra Desavar Shmuel Esther La Beruach HaKodesh Nemra. Does that imply that Shmuel holds that Esther wasn't written with Ruach HaKodesh? It was kind of a lesser degree than the other Sfarim of Tanakh. It wasn't written by Ruach HaKodesh. How can that be? Va'amar Shmuel. Shmuel himself is quoted as saying, "Esther Beruach HaKodesh Nemra." So the Gemara answers, "Nemra likros v'lo nemra likasov." Just because Shmuel holds that Esther had elements of Ruach HaKodesh, that Megillas Esther was written by Ruach HaKodesh, that doesn't necessarily mean that it should be canonized as part of Tanakh. It might just describe the quality of the story of Esther, of Megillas Esther, but it doesn't mean that it is metame esei adayim. Okay. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that talks about which other Sfarim are part of Tanakh, which other Sfarim are Metame Esei Adayim. Meisve, Rabbi Meir Omer, Koheles Eino Metame Esei Adayim. Koheles is not Metame Adayim. Umachlokas B'Shiar Shirim. It's a dispute as to whether Shiar Shirim is. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shiar Shirim Metame Esei Adayim, Machlokas B'Koheles. Yossi says just the opposite. Shir Hashirim is clearly not the opposite. I'm sorry. He says Shir Hashirim is Matami Yadayim, and it's a machlokas with Koheles. Rav Shimon Omer Koheles Mikulei Beishamei Mechumrei Beisilel. So Rav Shimon says that Koheles, its status is a machlokas between Beishamei and Beisilel, and this is one of the instances where Beishamei is Mekil and says that Koheles is not Matami Yadayim, and Beisilel is Machmir and says Koheles is Matami Yadayim. About Rus, Vishir Hashirim, Esther, these other Megillos, Metame and Sayadayim, they clearly are Metame Yadayim. So, all of this was meant to challenge the Memra above of Shmuel, because Shmuel was quoted by Rav Yehuda as saying, Esther Eina Metame and Sayadayim, and here we have all these Tanaim holding that Esther is not Metame, that Esther is Metame Yadayim. So the Gemara answers, Hu Da'amar Karab Yoshua, Shmuel, when he said that Esther is not Matame Yadayim, he was holding like Rabbi Yoshua, who we quoted above as saying that Esther is not Matame Yadayim.
He said they found the pasuk.
Right, you're exactly right. He was remember in the Machlokas Tanaim above, where we were figuring based on the pasuk Ksav Zos Zikaron B'Sefer, Rabbi Yoshua was the one who said you have to interpret that pasuk in a way that doesn't allow for including Megillas Esther to be written. Okay. Now we continue with the Braisa Tanya Rav Yishuma Menasya Omer Koheles Eino Metame Yadayim. Koheles is not Metame Yadayim. Why? Mipnei Shechachmaso Shel Shlomo Hi. Because it's just a whole bunch of sayings that Shlomo HaMelech said. There's nothing inherently kadosh about Koheles. It's just Shlomo was a big chacham. Shlomo was an important person. He was a Talmud Chacham. But not everything he said necessarily made it into, or should make it into Tanakh, as part of Tanakh. So Amru lo, v'chizu bilvad Amar. So they said to him, well, that would make sense if Koheles encapsulated everything that Shlomo HaMelech said, and then you could say that Koheles is just a record of all of Shlomo's wise statements. But that's not true, because we know that Shlomo said many, many, many wise things, and Koheles is just a portion of them. So doesn't that imply that there's something special about Koheles? This is a collection of just a portion of all of his chachmas, of all his wise things that he said, implying that Koheles is something special. So Amru of Chizu Bilvad Amar, Volkvar Nemar Vaidaber Shlosha Salafim Mashal, that he said 3,000 things. That's much more than is included in Koheles. And furthermore, Veomer Al Tosef Al Devarav, it says in Mishlei, don't say more than he said, meaning implying that he said many things. So the Gemara now analyzes this statement. My Vomer, why did you need the second pasuk from Mishlei to prove your point about Tosaf Dvar? So the Gemara answers, V'chitema meimar tuva amar di boy ichtov u di boy lo ichtov. So maybe you'll say that he said many, many things, and some things... what do we say? We're saying that maybe he said many, many things, and some things you could write down, and some things you could not, but the fact that you write some of them in Megillas Koheles doesn't necessarily mean that Megillas Koheles is something special, because you just haphazardly decided to write some of the smart things he said. It doesn't mean that there's any special a significance to the things that are collected in Koheles to make it into a holy book. So Tashma comes along the pasuk and says Al Tosef Al Devarav to say that there is something special about what was written, that the Sefer Koheles is a portion of what he said, and don't add anything more, as if to say that there is something special to Sefer Koheles. Okay, Tanya Rav Lazar Omer Esther Bruch HaKodesh Nemra. Rav Lazar says that Esther was written Beruach HaKodesh, and he's going to prove it. The Gemara is going to now bring a series of proofs to the idea that Esther was Beruach HaKodesh Nemra, that the author of Megillas Esther wrote it with Ruach HaKodesh. There was some element of Nevuah involved. How do we know that? Shenemar Vayomer Haman Belibo, because the pasuk says when Achashverosh asked Haman, "What are we going to do for a person when Mishael Melech Chafetz?" that the king wants to honor, what should we do? So the Megillah says that Haman thought in his mind, oh, the king must mean me, and that's why I'm going to tell over a extravagant thing to do. So the author of the Megillah, it seems like there's an omniscient narrator, not narrator to the author of the Megillah, Esther. He knows what was in Haman's heart, and so that's proof that Megillah Esther was Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. Rabbi Akiva brings a different proof. Rabbi Akiva Omer Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra Shenemra Vati Esther Nosei Schein Beinei Koro Eha. That when the Pasuk describes Esther, it says that Esther was loved by all. How did the author of Megillah know that Esther is loved by every single person, if not for the fact that it was written Baruch HaKodesh? Rabbi Meir has a different proof. Rabbi Meir Omer Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. How do we know this? Shenemar Vayivado HaDavar L'Mordechai. That the plans of Bigson and Seresh were revealed to Mordechai. This isn't as much a comment about the writing of Megillah Esther. This is a comment more about the fundamental story of Megillah Esther, that, as Rashi points out, who could have revealed the plans of Bigson and Seresh to Mordechai if not for the fact that Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh. So there was an element of Ruach HaKodesh involved in the story of Megillah Esther. Rabbi Yossi ben Dormaskis Omer Esther Ruach HaKodesh Nemra. How do we know that? Shnemra u'babiza lo shalchulos yadam. When it describes the celebration or the victory of the Jews in the war, it says that the Jews didn't take any of the spoils. So again, the author of the Megillah couldn't possibly have known necessarily that no Jew took any spoils, and so this proves that Megillah says the Baruch HaKadosh Nemra. Amar Shmuel, Yavai Hasam, if I would have been there at the time when the Tanaim were debating this issue, Hava Mina Milsa Da Adifa Mikul, I would have taught something that's better than all these proofs. Shenemar Kimu V'Kiblu, the Pasuk says at the end, Kimu V'Kiblu, and we darshan kibu kimu l'mala masha kibu l'mata, that up in Shemayim, they were mekayim what the Jews were mekayim down below. That they recognized this celebration and recognized the fact that this was a holiday to be had. And so therefore Shmuel says that proves that Esther Baruch HaKodesh Nemra, because again, how do we know, how did the author of the Megillah know that if not for Ruach HaKodesh? Amar Rava. Rava now says, "L'kulu islu pircha, l'bar midiv shmua l'dles pircha." All of the proofs that all the Tanaim brought down to prove that Esther was Baruch HaKodesh Nemra, all of them can be overturned, can be disproven. All of them have a question on them. All of them can be questioned, except for Shmuel's proof. Let's go through them. Rabbi Eliezer was the one who said that the proof is the fact that Haman, the Megillah says that what was in Haman's mind was that Ahasuerus was describing him, right? When he said, "Who are we going to make a celebration for? Who are we going to honor?" So the Rav Elazar svaruhu duo have inish dechashiv l'malka kavasei. So the Rav Elazar's proof could simply be overturned or can be questioned by saying that it was a svara, that anyone who's observing this story would observe that Haman was a haughty guy. And he probably concluded that the king was talking about him. And it's reasonable to assume that was what was going through Haman's mind. But it's not that you had Ruach HaKodesh necessarily to know specifically what was going through Haman's mind. Vayki kamafish tuva ve'amar adate d'nafshe kamar. And therefore, and I think the Gemara is saying more than that, the fact that he went on and gave such an exaggerated answer to the question and said you should put him on a horse and have a guy lead him around, that proves that he was thinking about himself. It was simply a study in Haman's psychology. Rabbi Akiva's proof? Rabbi Akiva's proof was Vati Esther Nosei Schein Beinei Kol Ra'eha, that we know that everyone loved Esther, that she was someone who attracted everyone's attention. Rabbi Akiva Dilma Rabbi Elazar. Maybe he holds like Rabbi Elazar, Damer Mlamit Shko Echad V'Echad Nidmasalo Kuumaso. Rav Elazar says that the reason why Esther was so attractive in everyone's mind was because everyone thought that she was from their nation. Right? When Mordechai sent Esther, he told her, "Don't reveal what nation you're from." And interestingly, the Maharsha points out that Mordechai's intention here was that Esther not be chosen. He wanted to kind of protect Esther from this whole situation. And this is a little at odds with other Midrashim, which say that Mordechai had a whole plan here. But at least this Marsha is saying that Mordechai's intention was that Esther not be chosen, because if she would somehow say that she's from a particular nation, so maybe Ahasuerus would be attracted to that nation. He wanted her to lay low in terms of identifying her nation. And what happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind the psychology that people are attracted to people from their own nation, right? People kind of are attracted to people of their own ethnicity, of their own origin. And therefore, the fact that Esther withheld her identity and didn't identify allowed her to become this kind of universally beloved and desired person. And everyone in the whole kingdom loved her because they were kind of all related to her, because she wasn't pigeonholed into one specific ethnicity, which is interesting. Okay. Vad Rabbi Meir, what was Rabbi Meir's proof? Rabbi Meir's proof was Vayivada Hadavar Lo Mordechai, that Big Son and Seresh, the plans of Big Son and Seresh were revealed to Mordechai. That must have been through Racha Kodesh, said Rabbi Meir. So Dilmak Rabbi Chia Bar Av Abba. Damar Big Son Viseresh Shnei Tarshiyim Hayu. Rabbi Chia Bar Ava points out that Big Son and Seresh were from the nation of Tarshish, and so therefore they spoke Tarshish, and Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin who spoke 70 languages, so he also spoke Tarshish, and that's why he was uniquely able to identify their plans and figure out what they were saying, not because he had Ruach HaKodesh, but just because he was multilingual and was able to understand what they were saying. Vad Rabbi Yossi ben Durmaskis, what was his proof? His proof was Ubabizolo Shalchus Yadam, that somehow the author of the Megillah knew that no one went into the spoils. Dilma Pristiki Shadur, maybe some messenger went and told Mordechai and Esther that no one had gone into the spoils, and it wasn't because of any Ruach HaKodesh, but simply because they had intelligence to that effect. And then he concluded, if you remember, Rava said Shmuel's proof of Kimu Lomalama Shukibu Lomata, that has no pircha. The Shmuel Vadai Lesle pircha. That has no question. You can't undermine that proof. Amar Avina, or I think there's a different here, so Amar Rava. Hainu da Amri Inshi, Tava Chada Pilpalta Charifta Mimali Tsani Kari. This explains, or this can be described with the popular saying that one very hot pepper is more charif, is more potent than a whole basket of pumpkins. If you have, in other words, you have all these tanaim, and then comes along Shmuel with a very compelling statement, a very compelling proof. So he's like the hot pepper in the basket of pumpkins, and he kind of stands out. Rav Yosef Amar Mihacha. Rav Yosef now is going to throw in an additional proof that Esther Bruach HaKodesh Nemra. V'yimei Purim HaPurim Ha'elo Lo Yavru Mitoch HaYehudim. The Megillah predicts that the days of Purim, the holiday of Purim, will never go away from the Jews. It'll always be celebrated. And so again, that's a proof for the future that implies somehow Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Me'achav Zichrom Al Yasuf Mezaram. Again, that the story will never be forgotten. That also must be Ruach HaKodesh because it's predicting the future. Okay, now we're going to get into some of the halachos of the holiday of Purim. Matanos Levyonim. We said that there's a mitzvah of giving Matanos Levyonim. Tani Rav Yosef. Umishloach Manos Ishkoreyehu. So Rav Yosef taught that Mashloach Manos, Shtei Manos L'Ish Echad, that the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is two food items to one person. U'matanos L'Avyonim, and the mitzvah of Matanos L'Avyonim is Shtei Matanos L'Shnei B'nei Adam. You're supposed to give to two people Matanos L'Avyonim. Rav Yehuda Nesia Shadr Le Rav Oshia Atma De'igla Tilsa V'garba D'chamra. So Rav Yehuda Anasi sent to Rav Oshia a leg of a calf, a third-born calf, which in other places in Shas we know means it was the best calf. Apparently the quality of the meat was somehow related to the birth order. So the third-born calf is the best quality meat. And so he sent for Shalach Manos, he sent a leg of a third-born calf, and he sent a jug of wine. Why is this an important statement? What's the significance of this? So the Truma Sadeshan and the Magen Avraham both point out that this is the proof that a liquid is also good for shalchmanas. You could be yotze shalchmanas with a liquid, right? You could send someone a piece of cake and a can of Coke and be yotze shalchmanas with that. Because he did it with a with some meat and with a jug of wine. Okay, so shalchlei, so he responded to him, kiyamta banu rabenu mishalchmanos ishloreyehu. By doing this, by sending these two things, you are makayin the mitzvah of mishloach manos. And then there's a girsa debate here, whether you include the next two words, umatanos lavyonim. Rashi seems to leave out matanos lavyonim. And most of the, you see the little two little olives, they all say leave out the grub. Vilna Gaon says leave out matanos lavyonim. I guess the question here is whether you could be mekayim the mitzvah of shalchmanos and matanos levyonim in one swoop. If the person you're giving your shalchmanos to is also an evyon, is also a poor person, so perhaps you could be mekayim the mitzvah both mitzvahs at once. According to the Vilna Gaon and according to Rashi, at least you can't prove that. That's not what the purpose of this gemara is to prove. The Marsha points out that the Marsha thought you should leave it in. Because the Marsha said, otherwise, what's the chiddush here? What's the halacha that's being taught here, if not for the fact that you can be mekayim matanos levyonim at the same time as mishloach manos?
We said before that you need to send matanos levyonim to two people.
That's true. Maybe that's another reason to leave the giras out. Maybe according to the Marsha, the thrust of this gemara would be that you're mekayim half the mitzvah matanos levyonim with this, and you just have to supplement it with another. I'm not sure. Okay. The Mefarshim talk about what's the chiddush here. This seems to be just very benign Gemara here. What is the Gemara teaching you with these stories that one Amora sent another Amora Mishloach Manos? So we said one was this idea that you can kind of mix it with a liquid. Other Mefarshim say that the chiddush is that a Rebbe can be Mekayim the mitzvah by sending to his Talmud. And then they get into a whole discussion of whether a Talmud can be Mekayim the mitzvah by sending Shalach Manos to his Rebbe, because it says it's Yushlareyehu, and is your Rebbe or your Reye, is not your friend, he's not your friend. They quote from other psukim where Reyacha refers not just to your kind of equal friend, but just any other Jew, right? And all through the Torah, you have Reyacha referring to just any other Jew, and so therefore you can be Mekayim Mitzvah Matanos Levyonim by sending a Talmud to a Rebbe. Okay. Rava Shadar Leila Mari Barmar Biyada Baye. So Rava sent Shalchmanos to Mari Barmar, and he sent it through a Shaliach, through Abaye. What did he say? Send Malay Taska Dechashva Umay Kasa Kamcha Davshuna. He sent a bag full of dates. And he sent a barrel or a sack of roasted flour. Amar le Abaye, so Abaye said, Hashta Amar le Abaye, Hashta Amar Mari, Ichakwa Malko lihave dikua mitzavare lo nachis. So Abaye was saying that. Hold on one second. Yeah, what happened was, who was it? Rabba had become the Nasi, right? I think someone had a promotion. He used to be a simple person, and then he got a promotion. He became the Rosh Bepumpadisa. So he said that now that you sent this kind of simple, what was it? I think he said now that he sent this simple shalchmanos, people are going to say that the farmer who was once simple is not, even after he gets a promotion, even though he becomes the Rosh and the Pumpadisa, he's not going to, he still sends simple things. Meaning a farmer, once a farmer is accustomed to sending a quality of shalchmanos of this quality, just because he becomes the Rosh, the Nasi in Pumpadisa, doesn't mean that he's going to now upscale his shalach manos. That's the saying they said.
Is that he should?
That is the basket that's hanging on his neck never doesn't leave its status. Meaning a farmer is always a farmer. He's always going to send these simple shalach manos even after he becomes very important. So hadar shalach le'ihu mo'taska dezagnevisa viwa u'mo'ikasa depalpalta aricha. So then he sent back to him Mari Barmar sent back to Rabbah, he sent a sack of ginger and a cup of long peppers. So Amar Abaye, said, Hashta Amar Mar, Ana Shadri Lechuya Viu Shadri Lechurfa. He says, now people are going to say, I sent you something very sweet, right? And you sent me something very hot. So Amar Abaye, Kinafki mi Beira Mar, so Abaye said that when I came from the house of Rabbah to deliver these shalach manos, Hava Savana, I was already very satiated, it was already full. Kimatayu Hasan, but when I came to the house of Mari Bar Mar to deliver these shalach manos, Karivu Ishisin Sai Deshisin Mine Kedera. Bring to me, I said, bring to me, even though I was very satiated, I was already very full, but I all of a sudden got these huge, huge amounts of hunger, and I said, "Bring me 60 plates of 60 different types of dishes, v'achli b'hushisin plugei b'shua, and I'm going to eat 60 portions of that." Basrayu havakaru eit sali keder, and the last one that I ate was called a pot roast sali keder, uboy lemechas tsa abasra. And I was so hungry that not only did I eat these 60 portions of 60 plates of 60 types of meals, but I even wanted to eat the plate afterwards. He's just describing in a very exaggerated way how hungry he was. Amar Abaye, so Abaye said, Hainu da Amri Inshi, Kafin Anya Voyada, a poor person is hungry and doesn't even know it. So Abaye says that this is kind of this phenomenon where I thought I was full and then I showed up to this guy's house and I started eating like crazy. This describes the saying that people say that a poor person is sometimes hungry and doesn't even know it. Inami rav chagu basima shchiach, or this describes the saying that people have that there's always room for dessert. Always room for dessert. Okay. Back to the halachas.
What's the lesson
here? I'm not sure. I think he's. I'm not sure.
I think they say it's a mashal about learning Torah. He was more, more hungry for Torah.
Is that right? Okay, think, yeah. Sounds good. It's mashal for Torah. So it's a good answer.
Something like that.
Okay, good. Abaye bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, Mechalfei Sudasayu Adadi. So these two Amoraim would swap sudos for one another. They would be mekayim the mitzvah of shalach manos by simply sending the suda for shalach manos to each other, and they would be mekayim the mitzvah that way. And the halacha here is that you could do that. That's okay to do a kind of a quid pro quo, where if you don't have the resources to send shalach manos to other people and then have your suda, you could kind of do a quid pro quo where each of them provides the suda for one another. Okay, now we come to a very, very, very famous story. Amar Rava, Mechayev Inish Lubesume Bepuria, Adoyada bin Ar Haman Luvarach Mordechai. So Rava says that there's a chiyuv, there's an obligation to drink wine on Purim to the extent that you don't know the difference between Ar Haman and Baruch Mordechai. This is obviously a famous halacha on Purim and is the source for the halacha of drinking on Purim. And then the Gemara illustrates this with a story that is a wild story. Rab of Rabbi Zera Avdu Sudas Purim Bade Adadi. So Rab and Rabbi Zera one year got together for Suda Purim, Ivsum, and they got drunk. Come Rabba, Shachteu Rabbi Zera. So Rabba stood up and he shechted, he killed Rabbi Zera. He was so drunk that he was completely overtaken by his drunkenness and he killed Rabbi Zera. V'machar Boy Rachami Va'achya. So the next day he felt kind of bad about this, that he had killed his friend Rabbi Zera, and so therefore he davened and he revived Rabbi Zera. He was able to somehow bring him back to life. Lashana, the next year, Amar Le, So Rabba said to Rabbi Zera, Nesi Marvin, obviously the sperm by the Adadi. Come, let's make a Suda again. Let's get together again for the Suda sperm. So Amar Lehi, so Rabbi Zera responded, Lo b'chol shaita v'shaita misrachish nisa. Nisim don't happen every day. You know, last year you got lucky, you killed me in your drunkenness, and you were able to revive me, but I'm not going to place my fortune in your hands again, and I'm not going to assume that a nes is going to happen again. Let's skip the Suda this year. So this obviously engenders a whole lots of discussion. This whole story engenders a whole lot of discussion among the poskim, and even the basic halach that we started with, which is that chayiv adam v'besume, adoyada bin ar adam hamam v'mordechai. So I just here to have the Sharim Mitzion and Balacha, who just has a whole treasure here of mamarim, of the way the different poskim deal with this situation. So he quotes, first of all, the Rama, who says in the name of the Ma'aril that you don't really need to sleep, you don't need to drink so much that you completely lose any concept of Arur Hamam Baruch Mordechai. Rather, it's sufficient, says the Ma'aril, to drink a little more than you're accustomed to and to take a nap. And when you take a nap, you don't really know the difference between Haman and Mordechai because you're not conscious, and that will do the trick. And he says, famously, an important thing to recall, to remember on Purim, is that you should do things l'shem shemayim. That's more important than drinking lots and lots of wine. He quotes here the Eliyahu Rabba, who points out that this is just a mitzvah and a ma'akev, that the idea of drinking on Purim is a mitzvah, but if you don't get completely drunk or you don't even drink at all, apparently, it's not ma'akev, you're still mekayim mitzvah suda sperm. What?
It's not a very popular
gemara. That might not be a popular gemara. It depends on kind of which circles you hang in, which of these shudas are more popular. Then he quotes the Yad Ephraim, who says ad v'lad v'chlal, right? The gemara says that you should drink until you hit the ad v'yada, until you hit the level of not knowing Baruch Mordechai and Arur Haman. But he says this means ad v'lad b'chlal. You should go until that point. Don't actually reach the point where you don't know the difference. You should just go up to that level. Ad v'lad b'chlal. Then he quotes the Sefer Amoros L'Arbeinu Mer Minarvona, that this whole thing is derech guzma, that a lot of times you find gemaras, you find the Gadata, where the Chazal speak b'lashon guzma, where they speak in exaggeration to teach a point, and therefore you shouldn't take this Gemara literally, certainly not to the point of, you know, killing your friend. And he points out, only a person who's confident that he's going to be able to revive the dead is allowed to get this drunk. That's the lesson of this Gemara. Then he quotes the Ran in the name of Rabbeinu Ephraim, that the memra of the story where, you know, one Amora kills another Amora is meant to teach you that we don't paskin that you should get so drunk.
They don't say that they decide not to get drunk the next year.
It doesn't say that, right? That's true.
In fact, you don't want to eat with them because you were afraid it was going to happen.
Right, exactly, yeah. Then, fascinatingly, he quotes a Birkas Yosef on Evan HaEzer in Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer in Siman Yud Zayin. Siman Yud Zayin is the Siman in Shulchan Aruch which talks about all the Aguna situations where a husband is lost at sea. So he says, when Rabbi Zera died, was his wife now mutter to marry someone else? Because the halacha is that when a man dies, his wife becomes mutter. So what was her status now when he was revived? He died. Does that make his wife mutter to marry anyone else? Now he's died. Does he have to remarry her now that he is revived? Or is game over? Game over when he dies, and therefore he would have to remarry her in order to make her asur for anyone else? Or is the halacha that when a husband dies that his wife is mutter, does that only apply if he remains dead? But if he comes back to life, maybe she becomes his husband again. And it's a whole discussion here, interestingly, in Evan Ezer among the poskim. They bring this as kind of one of the proofs or one of the issues that comes up. Okay, fine.
That can actually be, if the answer to that, right now, I'm seeing people on the operating table and
yeah.
Technically dead and they're right. Revived.
They come back and they say, I saw a big light or whatever. Yeah. I don't think anyone would say, well, halacha, that their wife is now a terrorist to anyone else, you know, if they actually come back. Okay. The Gemara continues, Amar Rava, Sudas Perm Sha'achol Balaila Lo Yaseh Yidei Chovaso. You can't be Mekayin the Mitzvah of Sudas Perm at night. My time, Yimei Mishta V'Simcha K'siv. It says Yimei Mishta, it says during the day. Many posts can point out, many contemporary posts can point out that the minhag that many Bnei Yeshiva have to get drunk at night has no basis at all in Halacha. If anything, there's a mitzvah of getting drunk connected to the Suda, right? Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. But there's no mucker for getting drunk at night. Rav Ashi Ava Yosef Kamei de Rav Kana or de Amemar. Rav Ashi Ava Yosef Kamei de Amemar Nagav Lasu Rabbanan. What is this? Oh yeah, right. He was sitting there, and the Talmidim didn't come. So Amar Lei, so Rav Ashi said to Rav Kahana or to Amemar, my time was for Rabbanon. In the Beis Medrash. Why weren't they come? Right. In the Beis Medrash, they were waiting for the Talmidim to come, and they said, why didn't the Talmidim come? So Amar Lei, Dilma Tri De Besudas Perm. So he said, maybe they're still busy eating the Sudas Perm. Amar Lei, so Rav Ashi said, V'lohave Efshir L'michloi Borta. Couldn't they have eaten it already? While it was still light, why are they still eating it? So Amrulei lo Shmielei lamar hana marava sudas perm shachabai lo yasei de chavaso. So Amemar said back to Rav Ashi, didn't you hear the halacha that Rava said that the suda perm that's eaten at night lo yasei de chavaso? I'm sorry, Rav Ashi said why are the tamim not coming? Couldn't they have eaten the suda already last night, and they would have been yotzei, and then they wouldn't have missed their learning now. So he says, well, you can't be yotzei the mitzvah of suda's perm at night. So Amar Lei, so Rav Ashi said back to him, Amar Lei, lo shemi, the Gerus on the side, the quotes of the Shultas, is saying, lo shemi, I never heard that halacha. And then the Gemara continues, Tana Minei Arbain Zimnin, V'damilei k'man d'manach b'kisei. So then he learned over that halacha 40 times, and it was as if he had it in his pocket. He became an expert in that halacha. He knew it very well. Okay, now we have a new Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ein bein Yom Tov v'Shabbos el ochel b'nefesh b'vad. The only difference between Yom Tov and Shabbos is ochel nefesh. Tosfos points out, and others point out here, that of course there are some other differences, especially in terms of the onesh that you get for doing malacha on Yom Tov versus the onesh you get for doing malacha on Shabbos, which is skewa. So there are other differences, but at least we're just talking topically on this topic. And the only difference between practically Yom Tov and Shabbos is ochel nefesh, is whether you can cook on Yom Tov, whether you cook on Shabbos. You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Halinyin machshirei ochel nefesh zev zeh shavin. Does this imply that machshirei ochel nefesh, preparation for ochel nefesh, not the actual cooking, but let's say, for example, sharpening a knife, that's not considered cooking itself, but it's kind of a preparation of a preparation. Perhaps they are both the same, meaning that on Yom Tov you're not allowed to do machshir ochel nefesh. Masdizin dol k'Rav Yehuda, and if that's the case, our mission is not like Rav Yehuda. The Tanya in ben Yom Tov v'Shabbos el ochel nefesh. The Tanakhama says that the only difference is ochel nefesh. Rav Yehuda matir af mashir ochel nefesh. Rav Yehuda says you're allowed to do even preparation, for example, sharpening a knife. My taina of the Tanakhama, what's the basis for the Tanakhama? Amrakra hu v'lo machshirav. There's a special pasuk that says who, that you could cook v'lo machshirav, but you're not allowed to do preparations for that. Rav Yehuda, and what's the source for Rav Yehuda? Why does he say that you can do even machshir ochel nefesh, even preparations like sharpening a knife? Lachem l'chol tzarcheichem. Lachem is a very broad term that makes it sound like you could do it for all your needs, even the preparations. V'idach nam yaksiv lachem. What is the Tanakhama going to do with the word lachem? Lachem v'ov dekachavim, lachem v'ov dekachavim. So the Tanakhama says lachem teaches you that you can prepare food, you can cook food for yourself, for a Jew, but not for a non-Jew, and not for a dog, not for your pets. You can't cook on yontif for your pets. Vidach nam yaksiv hu. What's he going to do with the word hu, which the other one had interpreted the Tanakhama had interpreted v'lo l'machshirav. So what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the word who? K'siv who? K'siv lachem. So he says no. It says both. So therefore, you could go lachem l'chol tzarcheichem. Who? It's true. Minimizes this to some degree, but it doesn't overcome the riboy of lachem. So and therefore, what is lachem refer to? Lachem b'machshirin she'efshar la'asosim yerav yom tov. Lachem b'machshirin she'efshar la'asosim yerav yom tov. Lachem teaches you that you can do it even machshirim, but only those that you could do on that you couldn't do on Erev Yom Tov. But if you could have done it on Erev Yontif, then the halacha doesn't allow you to do it on Yontif itself. Okay, next Mishnah says,
would they have been more
in Beitza?
Right.
Yeah, but the truth is, all these halachas that we just learned should sound familiar from the Maseches Beitza. The reason the Mishnah is quoted here is because these ain the pattern is ain bain, right? The last Mishnah said ain bain other arishon other asheni of kirsa megil matanos. Yeah, the only difference is so once we're kind of on that loop of the only difference is so they throw in these other ain bains, such as the following Mishnah ain bain Shabbos liyom kippurim el shezez dono b'yidei adam v'zez dono b'kares. The only difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is the onesh, right? Shezez zedono bidei adam, that Shabbos, if you are mazed, if you do a malacha on Shabbos b'mazed, you get skiwa, you get punished by Bezdin. Vezez zedono b'karis, but on Yom Kippur, if you do a malacha b'mazed, your punishment is bidei shemayim b'karis. That's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. The Gemara then says, Hagunyin tashlumin ze vize shavin. That implies that with respect to the halacha of tashlumin, meaning whether you are chayev, let's say, for example, you, as Rashi points out, you burn property of your friend on Yom Kippur or on Shabbos, right? So there's a halacha of kimle b'derabim minei. There's a halacha that says that when you already are chayev a punishment, you're not also chayev tashlumin. You're not chayev to pay the person back, because you're already chayev in the onesh, right? Because the onesh for lighting a fire on Yontif or lighting on Yom Kippur or lighting a fire on Shabbos. So this implies, says the Gemara, that we need tashlumin zev is zeshavin, that they're both on the same plane, and that even though one onesh is bidei shemayim and one onesh is bidei adam, they both follow the same pattern where you're not chayev to pay back your friend for having burnt his property on both of that. Money must nisin. Who is this? Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanahi. It must be Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanahi. The tiny Rabbi Nechunya ben Akanahi. Haya oses yom kippurim kishabbos lutashlumin. Ma Shabbos mischayev ben afsho pater min atashlumin. That just like Shabbos, you're chayev misa, and therefore you're pater from paying back for the damage. Af yom kippurim mischayev ben afsho pater min atashlumin. So to Yom Kippur, you're also chayev, even though you're not chayev bidei adam, you're chayev kares, so therefore that also results in a patur tashlumin. Tanan hasam, we have a Mishnah elsewhere, kol chayave krisus shalaku niftaru midei krisasan. So there's halacha here that if you have a chayev, something that makes you chayev kares, you could also be subject to malchus if there's warning. If there are two, right, kares you don't need warning from, because Hashem knows what's going on. He's going to impose kares whether or not there was warning. But if there were two witnesses who gave you warning, gave you asra, and said, if you do this, you're going to get malchus, so then not only do you get kares, then kares gets set aside, and instead of that, you're going to get malchus, and that's going to be your punishment, because you were over a lav, and a standard lav gets malchus. And so therefore, this Mishnah says that anyone who's chayev kares ordinarily, if they got hasra, if two witnesses warned of the consequences of doing this avera, so then niftru midei krisasan, you're pater from krisos. Shenemar v'nikla achicha leinecha. The pasuk says that you should get malchus from bezdin kevin shalaka, and by virtue of getting malchus hariu ki achicha, that returns you to the status of achicha. That's your kapara. That's your onesh. And therefore, you are now putter from Kares. Divrei Reb Chananya ben Gamliel. That's the position of Chananya ben Gamliel. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan steps in and says, "Chalukin alav chaverav al Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel." So Rabbi Yochanan says this position of Chananya ben Gamliel is a controversial position, and all of his friends disagreed with him. It's not true, in fact, says Rabbi Yochanan, that if you're chay of kares, you can absolve yourself of the chi of kares by getting malchus. That doesn't work. Amar Rava. Rava says, Amri Bei Rav Tanina. In the house of Rav, they learned our Mishnah. Ein Bein Yom HaKibur L'Shabbos El Shezeh Zedono Bidei Adam V'Zeh Zedono Bidei Kares. That the only difference, as we just learned in our Mishnah, between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is Shezeh Zedono Bidei Adam V'Zeh Zedono Bidei Kares. Vim Isa, and if the position of Rav Chananya Ben Gamliel was true, if it was true that you can be putter from kares through the imposition of malchus, then the truth is, if you look at it, it's not really true that the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is that one has a chi of kares and one has a chi of skila, that one is bidei shemayim, one is bidei adam, right? Because in reality, anything that has a chi of kares attached to it, namely Yom Kippur, for example, Yom Kippur, is also bidei adam in the sense that you could get out of the chi of kares by having malchus. And so fundamentally, Yom Kippur is really something where its onesh is also bidei adam. And so the Mishnah is not true when it says that the difference between Shabbos and Yom Kippur is that one is bidei adam and one is bidei shemayim. That's his critique of Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. So, and he's saying that that's the basis of why we say why Rabbi Yochanan says Chalukin alav chaver of Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, that generally people disregard or set aside or critiqued Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel's statement because this Mishnah seems to cut against the statement of Chananya ben Gamliel. So Amar Rabbi Nachman says Hamani Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Nachman says that really the critique against Rav Chananya ben Gamliel is not a great critique because our Mishnah can be described or can be explained based on Rabbi Yitzchak. Hamani Rabbi Yitzchak, he da'amar malchus b'chayve krisus leka. Just say that our Mishnah is following the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, and therefore it's not an absolute proof against Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, it's just following the shita of Rabbi Yitzchak, who holds that when there is a chi of kares, there's no such thing as a chi of malchus. In other words, it's a machokas, the machokas tanaim. The tanya Rabbi Yitzchak omer, chayve krisus b'chlal hayu, that in the parsha of the Arayos, it mentions all these different things that have a chi of krisus, v'lama yatzas kares b'achoso, v'aduno b'kares v'lova malchus. And there is, after it goes through all the chayve krisus in the parsha of Arayos, it singles out specifically having relations with one's sister. That's also chayev kares, but it pulls it out of that parsha and treats it separately. And so therefore, why is that done? Why does it pull it out of that parsha and treat it separately? To teach you that it's only chayev kares and not malchus. And once you have that, it's a, what's it called? It's one of the Shosh Yisrei Midos. What is it? It's Kevan Shiyatza Min HaKlal, Lola Meid Al Atzmo Yatza, Elola Meid Al Klal Kulo Yatza. Right? So once you pull Achoso out of the Klal, out of the general parsha of Yisrei Kares, and it's to teach you that it doesn't get Malchus, right? That it gets only kares. So then, once it teaches you that for itself, it's lo la meid ala tzmo yatza, el la meid ala klal kul yatza, to teach you that all chayiv krisus are only chayiv kares and are not subject to malchus against the shita of Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. Rashi Yomar afilu tamer abanan zeikar zedona bidei adam zeikar zedona bidei kares. Rabbi Rashi says, you could even go with the shita of Rav Chananya ben Gamliel, and the Mishnah doesn't necessarily cut against that because it's not saying that it's exclusively kares, it's just that it's ikar kares, but that it's also bidei adam, it also can be punished with bidei adam. So it's an open machlokas.
Good.